Welcome to the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Akakande Wakandepwe, also known as Aka. One thing that scares me a lot is being interviewed. So today's guest has the same fear because he's also a podcaster. To be honest, we love interviewing others, but on the other side, for me example, I am such a blabbermouth. I'm not supposed to say anything. I'm the one person in my friendship group that might say the secret out loud. So I really also can't wait to see how this goes for him and what lessons we're all going to take from this. On the other hand, he's also in marketing and he hosts one of my favorite podcasts in Zambia. For me to say one of my favorites, I really mean it. And I really can't wait to dive deep with him. Welcome today's guest, Mwaka. Hi, Mwaka.
Hey, Aka. You know, it's always helpful. Yeah. Now, I wanted to say your name, then I was going to say, oh my God, I'm going to mess this up. But hey, Aka.
Akakandelwa.
Akakandelwa. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that hard. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I got it.
Yeah. I think it's easier if I say it, then you say it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's what I've noticed with others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited and nervous at the same time. So yeah, let's see how this goes because like you said, I'm usually the person on the other side interviewing the other person. Now this is happening to me. But I'm excited. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad you said yes. I was like, I love your podcast. And you're like, I love your podcast. Can I have you on my podcast? Can I have you? I was such conversation. So I was like, I came to ask him on my podcast. Now I have to say yes to his.
Yes, that's how it works.
So were you ever thinking of calling me up and just didn't know how to start the conversation?
I was actually thinking about it. And when I saw your text message, I was just like, yeah, let's make this happen. Right opportunity to even invite you as well.
Yeah, because one of the fun things about having a podcast is you could just reach out to people. They say no a lot, but you could just reach out to people and they say yes. And you're like, yay. That was nerve-wracking, but thank you.
Yeah.
How is that going for you? So you have your own podcast. So what's the story behind your podcast and reaching out for guests? How does that work for you?
Yeah. So, okay, let me answer the first question, how it started out. So the Dude podcast, I think it started from seeing people who are doing the work not being seen. And by those people, I mean people like creatives, especially. Of course, there are marketers and entrepreneurs, but most especially creatives in Zambia in the creative field. Because when I was growing up, I really wanted to be in the creative field. And so there weren't a lot of models or people that I could look up to, specifically in my country. Growing up, I was always just taught to say, oh, Mwaka, when you grow up, because you're getting good grades, you're going to have to study to be a lawyer or a doctor or an economist, something in that line. But growing up, I used to watch a lot of cartoons and I was always curious, like, how are these cartoons made? Who are the people behind this work? How do they make these things happen? How do they make the characters move? Or just special effects in movies? And so that's where it started from. As a kid, I used to draw a lot. And I would stick everything I would draw to the wall of my bedroom that I shared with my brothers. And then, I remember one time it's like the entire wall was like filled up with my drawings. So I was, I was that curious and really excited about being in the creative field. But growing up, of course, I never got to see a lot of people, like I said, in Zambia that I would look up to say, oh, I want to be like that person. I want to be a designer like that person. Or I want to be a videographer like that person. There were a few of those in my country. The only people I was seeing are people from other countries. And these would talk about how successful they are doing what they love. And that seemed fun to me. I really wanted that as well. And so I started learning on my own, taught myself design, of course, from YouTube and buying other courses online. So I would do that. And so, but I noticed that when you watch an, for example, an advert for Boom or any product in Zambia, you find that you don't even know the people behind the work. Like, who's done this advert by Boom? Who's done this Vatra ad? You don't know those people. And they never show them in the credits or anything for ads. So I was just like, okay, why don't I showcase the people out there? Because I grew up not having models to look up to in my country. So why don't I come up with a podcast where I talk to people who are doing that work, who are behind the scenes? And for all those people, I would have a segment on my podcast to say, okay, Codes, the Do It segment, or the project breakdown segment, where I would, for example, get a video or project that they've done before and ensure that, they just explain their process, like what was the creative work behind it, like what type of lights did they use when shooting this video, the behind the scenes, the process, finding people, how did they light this setup? So all those questions, I was curious. And I would see that my guests would light up when it's time for that part of the podcast. You know, they would show excitement of how they did it and all those. So because you can see that people really want to show what they do, but they don't have a platform to do that. And yeah, I think it has been inspiring other people as well. It's also for the purpose of inspiring other people as well who are willing to step out into the creative field to see, oh, there's also people out there in my country who are doing it as well and also making a living out of it and enjoying that their work at the same time. So that's how it started. That's where the inspiration came from for starting the Do It podcast. And then to answer your second question, how is it going with finding the guests? Well, most people are nervous, and most people don't want to like be public so much. Just want to do their work in secret. Yeah, but I've had people that have rejected me. But all I do, of course, is I just inbox them, or if I have a friend who knows someone, I ask them for their number. And I also just make sure that even as I'm inviting them, I just send them the link to say, oh, okay, so this is what other people have done before. These are the people I've interviewed before. So that also helps, more like social proof to say, oh, there's also other people. And so that has helped as well. But I've also like gotten rejection from, people that I really wanted to be on the podcast. You know, I was looking up to them and they were just like, nah, I can't do this. I'm not willing to put my stuff or my life out there. So I faced those moments too, but I think, I just know like, okay, rejection will come, of course, but I just have to keep going and go to the next person just like that. So I keep inviting, but so far, I think there's been a few rejections. I think the majority of people that I invite really accept to come on the podcast. And I think that's how it has been. Though I've been rejected by people that I really wanted to interview and are like big names in the industry.
Well, you have said some interesting things I'm gonna pick on. One is, we were talking about your story and how you started this, how you started the Do It podcast. You talked about how in Zambia, we do not have a lot of people to inspire us. We only know the traditional careers. So even when you're at home, it's literally be a doctor, be an accountant, be a lawyer, be a teacher, that type of thing. But the latest watch television and we see these cartoons, like you said. And for me, I'm watching television and I'm seeing these billionaires or these rich people, rich characters. And I'm like, okay, so how are they doing it? And I think one of our challenges is we always think that certain things are meant for one part of a group. It could be an elite group. So sometimes for us, for me, business was like, oh, if you're an elite group, then you can do business at this level. Everybody else could do sole proprietorship. So it's very interesting that we actually have the same reason for why we're doing the podcast, is to really just inspire people to get them started on a specific area of their life. I focus on skills development. It's like, I just want you to take responsibility of your life and develop yourself. And I love that you specifically have decided on the creative industry, which is an industry that is very undervalued and underpaid, but used mostly and has a way, long way to go. So where do you think is the gap in the industry, and why do you think there's that gap?
Yeah, thank you so much for that. Yeah, I mean, there's a really huge gap. I think the gap comes from, I think, us having like secure jobs, because when you look back, maybe let's say 20 years ago, all that it was is if you go to uni and study these subjects, you will definitely find a job after uni. That's how it was, the situation back then. And then the creative field wasn't considered to be one of those jobs where you could make a living out of. Like, it's the same as saying, I want to be a musician. I mean, you don't know how it's going to work out, whether you're going to be successful or not. And so I think even our parents or the people who came before us were encouraging us to go in the traditional route, because they knew that you are assured if you study to be a teacher, of course, it's definitely going to be a job for you. Or if you study to be a doctor, a job is secure. And I think if you say you want to study art or you want to be drawing people, I don't think that was like assured that you would find a job. And so I think that's where the gap came from. And so this was ingrained into all of us to say only these traditional jobs are secure and can make you a living out of. And so I think that's where the gap started from. So all of us want to be secure. Even our parents, when they're encouraging us to say, okay, take this route, they know exactly that you're going to be secure in the future. So that's why they would push us in that route. And I think they had really good intentions for doing that. They just want us to be safe as their children. But now, seeing that the creative industry is growing, we are seeing people making a living out of it. We are seeing content creators. We are seeing people doing marketing or podcasting, interviewing people. We are seeing that all these new things are coming up and they keep growing. And we are seeing more and more people make a living out of it. And so that gap is becoming smaller and smaller. But I think where the gap started from or existed from is because we all wanted a secure path. And right now, with all these podcasts, all these other people that we're seeing that the gap is closing, because we are seeing proof that this actually works. I hope that answers the question.
You're doing great, Mwaka. You can do this to me next week. Don't worry.
Yeah.
So you also, yeah, you will. Yeah. You mentioned that one of the things is you've gotten fewer rejections, but you've also not gotten the people you might really want on the podcast because they're not ready to put their life out there. And it's also something I have realized is I'm not an excuse on this. Like, I also don't like to put my life out there. So I'm a hypocrite. Like, I am asking people to talk about their work and their life, and I'm one to just say I really don't want to put my life out there because it's going to come to back and bite you. What are some of the things you've noticed that are interesting about us and affect the creative industry? Because one thing I have realized is, as a country, we don't like to share information. So you can actually be working in the same organization and not even know the average pay for that organization, or actually mm-hmm. know what everybody is getting paid, because no one wants to share that information. So do you think it's something that is crossing over in different parts of our lives, including us not wanting to share about our work on a podcast, for example?
I think everything that we do as humans always come from somewhere. Sometimes we might not know the reason why we are doing certain things, because they were just passed down to us and we don't know the reason why. So even like when it comes to sharing what we do or how much we get paid or what's going on in the industry, I don't know. I think one part of it is like the selfish nature of being human, because we think that if we share to the world, the people we're telling are going to be better than us and they're going to do better than us. I think that's one thing, selfishness. And other time, I don't blame the people who don't want to come on podcasts or talk about their life. But sometimes people don't just want to share. I mean, they just don't want to share that part of their life to the public. But I think when it comes to skill, I don't think that's something that you should hide from anyone, or let's say the amount or the average pay for a certain company. I think those are things that needs to be shared and need to be talked about, because if we don't talk about them, and then that's where we end up, we have like pay gaps that are ridiculous. You find that these people are getting this amount of money, which is ridiculous, and then these people are completely at the bottom. So as Zambians as well, I remember just an example. I remember growing up and there was this guy, he was a videographer, you know, he had these cameras, he used to shoot videos. And yeah, I was just inspired to say, okay, can I come over, you know, and just come and see like how you edit videos and whatnot, because I had nothing at that time. I knew nothing about video editing or how to hold a camera or how to take a picture or shooting a video. And this guy would just keep everything. You don't want to share anything. I remember one time I was supposed to meet him, he agreed, but he never showed up or called me back. And so I was really disappointed. I think also had other instances where someone had their laptop and they had the laptop and they had this software. For example, there was a time this guy had CorelDRAW, the other two, which is similar to Photoshop. He had these two and he couldn't just, you know, give me the software, you know, or help me where to find the software. And that's how he kept it from me. And so all those things, people think that you're going to steal them or you're going to become better than them at the end of the day. But I've learned that at the end of the day, that's not how life works. I think the more you share is the more you receive. And the more you share, the more you become better at something, because you're repeating it to yourself. And so you are knowing better, you are knowing the gaps. And so I think that's one thing we are bad at, sharing information as Zambians. And so I think that's where that really, really comes from. Yeah.
I have to agree. So I have had, I have been rejected a lot on the podcast, and maybe because I do it weekly and I really have to have podcasts running, right? But now I have switched my environment slightly. I still run my business, but I am working somewhere. And I'm always such a curious person. I don't take things at par value. And I'm always asking everybody. And I always compare. And I'm like, hey, in the Western world, every role has a competitive price. And are we doing that in Zambia? Like, oh, no, we're not doing that in Zambia because we all don't want to get the shame of not being paid so much. I'm like, well, employers and organizations are screwing everybody over, for lack of better terms, because none of you, all of you are against each other. It's no longer group work. Like, so one time you should all have group work is when you're tackling an organization, because then you get to have the your salary or the wage you deserve. like, even if you're negotiating, you know you can negotiate to this extent because this is an average pay for employees here. So I find it interesting. I'm like, so what do people get keeping? It's just small information. Like, that's very, it's not even important.
Yeah.
Like, it's just small information. And I think we are coming into, so Gen Z is coming into the workforce and we want to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what's an average pay for an intern? If I'm going to take an intern job, what's the average pay? Right? Like, what's the average pay? So that organizations can now pay that to interns cross through one sector. So if startups are paying interns this amount, X amount, let startups that can manage pay that, let bigger organizations that pay a different amount, because I think everybody's paying the same amount. I get that it's a culture thing, and I'm also trying to really navigate and understand where it's coming from. I also just think it's not that deep. Because sometimes if you're able to Google an organization, you get to see like an average pay for it. Let's say in America, if you say Google, what's an average pay for a Google intern? They'll tell you like, oh, a Google intern gets this amount.
Yeah.
So if you go for an interview or when you're negotiating your contract, you can negotiate that. So it's, now we just get what people think you deserve, not what is averaged across it. And for me, it's been very interesting because I, when my company is big, I hope my people tell what they get paid. Well, I'll just put it out there, to be honest, because then if you're going to get a job with us, you should know what our average pay is. So you could negotiate that you can get less, you can get more, but it could actually help you. So that's one thing. And the other thing, I think there's always silent competition amongst us. Because I am naive. Maybe I'm very naive, but I'm so forthcoming with information. And I say this to people, I can give you so much information, but you say nothing about myself.
Yeah.
And exactly. I'm like, you could use that against me? Nah, it won't work because I have like a contingency plan for it. So again, I think I'm very naive on how I view the world. I've been saying that like a lot, and it's interesting. On the other part, when you were talking, wait. Now my third train is out. Sorry. Well, welcome to my podcast. I forget my questions. Well, that's the commercial break. The one fun thing I love about you is I love how you create your podcast. And I love the videos. It's like, I hope I get to that point where I do video. I just don't know if I can. I know I will, but I'm not mentally ready for it. When you were making the decision of not going audio and video, what were you thinking of? And I know that you get to do the editing for yourself, so it's really nice how you do it, for lack of better terms. And what are some of the things you've been learning along the way? So I think, wait, now I know I don't ask you. Tell me about your podcast process. How do you do it? From having the guest to editing to promotion, then we can get into like the marketing of it.
Okay. Thank you for that. Maybe just to speak to your last point, just to go back. Yeah, about not talking about salary. I think I've seen like in other countries, well, in the Western countries, I think they kind of like give the average salary that is being offered. They even put it to their job advertisement. So I think we don't do that here in Zambia. And so that it's really difficult. And because I don't know. They know that people are desperate to find jobs. And so most people would take anything. And so I think that's how we're in that situation, just that they get away with it. And so, yeah, it's a really it's a really difficult situation. And really, you really have to be tough in order for you just to get to the top of that, or getting a salary that you deserve. And so, yeah, I think we need more of that, a lot of transparency into knowing, okay, what is the average that they're offering? Because you find that some companies, if you don't know about pricing or your worth, you go to a company and then they ask you first, like, okay, what is your offer? Like, how much do you want to be getting? And then if you say a lower price, so for example, they had put it at 10,000, that's like your minimum. And then you go there, they ask you, and then you say 5,000, and just be like, oh, okay, great. And then they offer you that. That's, I think that's evil. I don't know.
that's theft.
So cool. That's theft.
And I had like a tango,
mm-hmm.
and I'm good at waiting. Like I would tell you something, and I can do the waiting game. It doesn't matter what you think. Like, I will not be desperate for offering you my time and skill set. And I will get what I want in that contract, or we will reach a compromise. So I think that for people getting into the job sector now, it's what type of leverage do you have on the organization, and what type of skills and what type of information do you have in general? Because a lot of people are just going in the job market. No, like you might have your degree, but you have no information or skill sets of what it entails to be in such an environment. My friends and I like to call the corporate world the jungle. Because if you don't have certain information, or if you do not know what role you play or how to get into such a jungle, you can get eaten by a carnival. So it's interesting on the organizational side, where I always say this again to my friends, that they are meant to serve themselves. Like, organizations are happy to cut money at any given point. So if you want to get a lower price when it comes to your salary, they are happy to give it to you. If they want to pay premium, they will pay premium if they know you think they know you know your worth. So yeah, organizations are always going to be like that, evil, for lack of better terms. So it's up to somebody, whoever is going into the job market or an industry, to do that due diligence and know what they are bringing to the table, so they could negotiate their way into it. And also, I think you're right. They know people are desperate. They know that actually currently now, like, the job market in Zambia is very saturated. People are looking for jobs, so people could get the bare minimum from them and give them their whole life. So they know it, and they're really taking advantage, which is bad. It's just, whoever is getting out there should know how to navigate it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, anyway, it's a big issue. But I think through this conversation, I think we are also like contributing, so that we can have more open conversation, so that could be more transparency as well. Yeah, and then just to get to your question, so what is my process like for the Do It podcast? So for me, I always want to make sure that I have the questions at hand that I'm want to ask the visitor. So what I do first is I reach out to a person, or before I reach out, I do a bit of research about them, like the work that they're doing, the work that they've been posting online and all those things, just to know a bit about them, because I want to make sure I know as much as I can about the person. So I do a lot of online searching. So if you see Mwaka viewed your profile many times, just know that he's doing that.
Facts.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I do a lot of just research, go through your posts, what you post and all those things, just to have a feel so that I can know what to talk about when you come on to the podcast. Especially if we don't know each other or we have never met or have ever had a conversation. So that's where it starts from. And then from there, I get everything I find about the person, then write down the question based on my findings about their work. So, like I said, I try as much as possible to stay away from, yeah, at least like personal, like their personal life. I always try to make sure we stick to the skills, their contribution. Yeah, of course, they share a bit about their life, but not, yeah, like intimate as much as I can. For example, like, who are you dating? Or all those types of questions. So,
you know what? I would like to ask that question so we can break hearts.
I won't answer you.
Because it's going to get you in trouble. Like, yeah, okay, yeah, I can't even answer that question because,
yeah.
Because it get me in trouble.
So, yeah. What do you mean? You see?
You know that one question? You answer, then the wrong people listen. And you're like...
Yeah.
Exactly. They don't listen to your podcast, but with you, they decided to listen and hear that part.
Yeah,
I wouldn't answer too. I would never.
So. Yeah, I think that's also one thing that most people don't want to share. So I make sure that I... Yeah, we mostly stick to the skills and like what was the childhood like and all those basic questions. I'm not going into details into your life. So I make sure I stay away from that. Yeah, so I send the questions. Like I said, I make sure that the guest goes through those questions just to make sure we're all on the same page. And if they want to make any adjustments or there are things they would not like to talk about, so I make sure I do that. Then secondly, so from there, of course, we agree on a date. Then I send them this guest guide, which includes the location, the time, the dressing, whatever that they should be dressed in and what they shouldn't be dressed in when they come for the recording. And then I always try to make sure at least a week before the recording. So that's when I invite them. Then from there, of course, I have a dedicated space where I just do the podcast. Of course, I make sure it's as seamless as possible so that I can have an episode out each week. So I always make sure that I have recorded at least two episodes in advance, just in case someone doesn't, just like I didn't show up. Yeah, so I always make sure. Well,
trust me, my audience is so used to me canceling stuff. It's like one thing you should do. Yeah, like I was recording with somebody and I didn't attend the Changla Mlilo, her wedding. And she just said, you know what, Aka, I need a break. And I'm like, I love you so much, though.
Yeah, so I always just make sure that I have at least some recordings in case of anything. Yeah, and then from there, the recording day comes. Of course, I invite my guests. I make sure they feel at home and tell them to say, okay, this is not like some formal like conversation, like you're on TV and all those things. I try to make sure like the conversation is as casual as possible. It's just like you did when you introduced me to the podcast. You made me feel at home first. Just didn't jump right into it and, Mark, why do you do this? Yeah, so make the guests feel at home. Make sure they're comfortable. Because also one thing that I've seen as well is that creatives are, most of them are like introverts. And so you want to make sure that they're comfortable. And most people, it's their first time being on camera or being interviewed in such a setup. So I want to make sure that I make them as comfortable as much as possible. And then, of course, we start the conversation. Of course, there are a lot of mistakes. I do a lot of cutting and editing. So when you're telling me we made a mistake somewhere, we're just like, I know, I understand. Figure that out in post. Yeah, so the recording happens. And then after the recording, the guest signs something. They leave a note somewhere. I'm sure in the podcast, when you look at every episode, there's in the background, there's a board with like sticky notes, colorful sticky notes. That's where they just sign. Yeah, make sure they sign, they leave a note or something. So it's really motivating. Because when I'm down or like I feel like I don't want to do it this anymore, I look at these notes and they're really encouraging for me. They really push me because it's like different messages from all these people that have come onto the podcast. And so that keeps me going as well. And then, of course, after that, we take pictures. We take pictures, fun and crazy pictures. And then, of course, the one for the YouTube thumbnail. So I always make sure we do that. And then, of course, after that is editing. Of course, I do that myself. But when it comes to shooting, I usually have a person that helps me out. But even if he's not available, I always make sure that I make this happen. I make it as easy as much as I can to ensure that even if the person is not around, I'm still able to handle that myself. So I handle the editing because I want to master this so much that even if I bring on another person, which I'm soon about to do, I know everything and I can tell them what to do and what not to do. So I understand the process myself, just to make sure they do a good job. So I think that's the process. And then when it comes to marketing that, I don't know if you want to ask anything. I've said so much.
Okay, let's hold on the marketing.
Yeah.
I'm reading my questions when I come on the podcast and I'm like, this is so organized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am not this organized. Because in general, I am just not an organized person. So if I get a guest, I have gotten guests that really want the structure, really want to know what the question will be. It's such a challenge. It's such a chore for me. I can't wait to hand over that part of my podcast to somebody else. It's such a chore for me because I'm just like, I really am not organized. Like, you can even tell by the flow of this episode, by, Aka, you're telling me you forgot the question. How?
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to find somebody that is as organized and has everything put together, because I just come in 10 minutes before. Like, I really do act like I already have an assistant that does the pre-stuff for me. And I think that I like that we've talked about the process, because my process is also intense when it comes to just the audio part. But I can imagine when I switch to video how everything has to flow in a certain way. It's very interesting. And I think one thing that's working for you is that you already have the skill sets of editing and this and that. For me, it's really, I am just a podcaster. I hire out for anyone that runs the podcast. I just do the recordings and someone edit. So, not that I would learn the skill set. I think we should pay people what they deserve. I'm just thinking, oh, okay. What do I need to know when I switch to video pretty soon? It's going to be intense, but yeah. And maybe that's why I haven't done it yet.
Video is quite intense. It's a lot of, like I said, I think it also requires you to put a lot of effort. Plus, you're starting out. And some part of your life has to also like be, I don't know, like not going so well. Like other parts of your life, like your relationships and all those things, like seeing people, going out. I think that has part of it has been affected for me. So it requires some sacrifice, you know. I think that's what it has taken for me, really, just to manage the podcast. I mean, not being there so much for people. And yeah, but anyway, let's not get into that.
Oh, no, you actually brought up a good point. We're getting into that, by the way. Wow, well, let's not get into that. Duh. So I like that you've mentioned that a lot of stuff have to take sacrifice for some part of your life to work. Because now what we hear Taking us back to the question where people don't share information, the type of information we hear or the type of things as a young woman I hear from my elders in the industries of the women doing great, there's this notion that's been going around that you can have it all, right? Like you can have this great business, this great career, and be married and be a good friend, be a good daughter, be a good sister. Like you can all around have it all, and we're now getting into life fully as adults, and we're realizing that there's certain parts of your life that you need to sacrifice if you want certain things to work out, right? If you want the podcast to work out, there's certain things that you need to sacrifice. And if you can't have it all at that specific time, you will have it all seasonal. And having it all also has to change the definition, right? Like, for example, you might be having it all right now because you have the podcast and it's fulfilling you in a different way. The podcast will eventually get easy with time because now you're in the groove and you know how to do this thing pretty well. So it's easy for you to start or extend grace to certain areas of your life. I don't know if you've heard about this, or maybe because I'm a woman and I have seen it so much about how you can have it all, you can have it all. And I'm like, no, I can't.
Yeah.
What's the honest truth you think as young people are not being told as we are getting into stuff when it comes to the cost and sacrifice of really reaching your full potential?
Yeah, thank you so much for that. I think the honest truth is there's no work-life balance. I think I always carry in mind. Yeah, there's no such thing as work-life balance if you really want to make it big in your life. I think sometimes we are told, no, you need to relax. Sometimes you need to chill. You need to have fun. Of course you can, but if you really want to do something really big, I think it requires you to sacrifice a lot of things. And I've always remembered my brother-in-law's words. I remember he told me to say, like, you're still young. This is the right time for you to work yourself out. You need to, and for lack of a better, you need to work your ass off. This is the right time to do that. And I've got those words are always ringing in my head whenever I'm trying to like rest or procrastinate. I always carry those words with me, like, while I'm still young, I need to work hard as much as I can to build this foundation so that even when I'm older, when I don't have as much energy, I'll still have something to show, or I could have made something big and sustainable. I could have made an impact. So to tell yourself while you're still young that I need to do all these things, I need to balance all these things, I think that's almost impossible to do. Yeah, if you really want to make it big, you really have to sacrifice a lot from your life, and you're going to have sleepless nights, you're going to have few hours of sleep, you're going to lose some relationships and friendships and all that. But at the end of the day, I think the outcome will be more fulfilling and you'll never regret. And I think also the advice that I've lived by is, yeah, I mean, the greatest fear of, I think the biggest regret of people who are dying, what I've seen or observed is that, they regretted never doing something or pursuing something. Uh-huh. And I always move with that as well, is that if you didn't do something, if you didn't do that podcast or the Do It podcast, if you didn't start it, that's something I would regret if I never started this podcast. And so, I think that's the advice. I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, that's myself.
It makes a lot of sense. I totally agree. Do it, and so that you don't leave any room for regret. I think one of my favorite, messages when it comes to this, I've forgotten his name, but he passed on. He's an American pastor. He'd always say the greatest regrets for people that have died is the things they did not do. So your greatest regret when you die, you die with the goals you want, the dreams you wanted to go with. Like if there's one place that has so many untouched dreams is a graveyard, because they just didn't know what they wanted to do. You didn't start that business. You didn't write that book. You didn't start that podcast. And I think it's one of my favorite things to kind of listen to, because I'm like, ooh, what's the worst that can happen? Like, if it doesn't work out, it's okay. But it could work out. Could really end up great. And I also think that's what keeps me going with the podcast. I'm always like, it could work out. It could be great. It could be amazing. And if it isn't, that's okay too. Because you never really have a loss when you do something. You learn something. Either way, I think you're good. So, yeah, it's interesting. So let's get into the marketing. As we are talking how you market, do it, I also want to touch base on how I have a business and my marketing sucks. I don't do marketing for my business. I do word of mouth. Okay, that's a marketing strategy. But like anything that has to do with the social media and online presence isn't, again, for me. And I'm trying to make peace with that. When you talk about the marketing for the Do It podcast, I also want to ask you to talk about how I'm rebranding very soon. How do I go about a rebrand for my business? I'm so scared to rebrand because I do not want to do what I'm doing with my business right now. With my current brand right now, I'm like, oh my goodness, this sucks. But yeah, so how do we do marketing?
I think it's also asking questions, because I think for each person or business, it's gonna be different depending on the needs and where you are as a business or as a brand. I think I think marketing is ensuring that people come across your work and then get them to do something as well. When they come across our work, if you want them to buy something, you make them buy. If you want brand awareness, they become aware of your brand. If it's visual identity, if it's creating brand visual identity, making sure that even as you are branding, the branding speaks to your audience. So it's all those pieces and answering those questions, your target audience, your type of business. I think it's also those questions. So I might want to ask you as well, like are you trying to pivot? What do you mean when you say you want to rebrand?
We're going to spoil this for a lot of people. Something happened that was out of my control. My name was used for something political when it was really in the heights of it. And every single time I talked about my business, even to now, when I still introduce it as Tonsa Management, it's like they feel like it's political affiliated. And people would come up and like, oh, yeah, is it a political affiliated kind of? I'm like, no, I've had this name for 3 years. They took it. So we're pivoting more because now I know what I want the business to be about. Like now I wouldn't say I'm sure. Now I'm like 80% there, where I'm like, okay, so we're a tech company and we do this, that, and that. So even the look and feel of how we want to approach everything is going to change. We have our core audience and our target audience, our target market. So our core audience are not the people that pay. Our target market are the people that pay for our core audience. That type of thing. Everything to do with skills development. So yeah, it's still everything we're doing, but then it's going to be very amplified. And I think I'd like to talk more to both our core audience and our target audience market, and a lot to do with technology and
that sounds good. I think that's why it's really important, like, to be, I don't know, to be careful with what you share.
It's
gonna be used against you at some point. I think Yeah. Seeing the way you put it.
Did I share too much?
No,
I didn't.
No, I'm just saying, like, where you got tangled into, like, you were tangled to say sales management is, like, political and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how that came that came about, but yeah, that happens.
So the backstory is the Tonsi Alliance that was created by the party and was led strongly by the late president ECL, right?
Yeah.
And one thing about me is I am very secluded to social media. I also did not know this existed. It took someone really big to kind of say, I want a meeting with you. And I'm like, what's up? He works in the government. And he goes like, girl, do you know that there's a Trans Alliance? I was like, bro, I don't. I really just live in my own world. Okay, there's this alliance and this is what's going on. So initially, before that, every time you would Google Tonsi, my company would come up, right? Now, the alliance came first and my company came. Don't even give me a panic attack. I know, it happened so quickly.
Yeah.
But I have rights to that name. People get to use it? So yeah, that happened. And when someone made me aware of it and we had a conversation, and so I was like, okay, so I'm going to switch, because also something else was happening funding wise. I was going to get funds and I needed a little bit of more structure. So I was like, okay, this could be a good time for me to just switch, because everything to do with this name is becoming very tedious.
Yeah.
It's the first time I'm actually telling the story about this. I get into a meeting, I give them my credentials, I tell them where I'm from, and they're like, are you the Tonsi, are you related or are you affiliated with the Tonsi Alliance? I'm like, bro.
Yeah, wow.
I know. So I think that was February, March. In a span of time, things started escalating so much that I stopped using our socials. Like, apart from sharing the podcast, I stopped sharing anything else we're doing, because I didn't want it to grow. Till now, I'm just like, till we do the pivot or till we do the rebrand, I'm always just like, I really just don't want to share. Because even now, on Friday or Wednesday, somebody asked to say, hey, when I listen to you talk, I liked your talk. I asked myself if you're affiliated to a political party. And I said, no, I'm not. And I know the political party and there's all that, but there's never bad publicity, I guess. It's like, now we're talking about it. But I've been very careful on how that has been very intense for me. So on my end, operational-wise, we do use a different name. It's just that as much as everybody knows the political party, that's also the brand for the company. So I'm also very careful on how best to navigate that. So it's been interesting, to be honest. It's been that one thing on the back of my mind that's just like, wow. Thanks. And I think it also closed so many doors. Because of that. And I'm like, it's okay.
Yeah. Okay, so when you talk about rebranding, are you thinking of changing the name?
I actually have changed the name. I just can't tell you what the new name is. So the name has changed. It's just that I haven't told people the name has changed.
Yeah. Okay.
I know, and we operate in a different name now. Like, all my stuff has changed. Like, hey, I just said, I'm done. It's a good time. It also brings a different tone to what we do now. So I wanted a different tone. And yeah, so I stew on the other name. I stew on Tonsi. I just changed it. I might use it in the future again, but I just said, it's going to give me a lot of headaches right now. So, yeah, I have changed the name. I just haven't done the rebranding, because I also want to do it in a certain way. So I haven't, engaged the marketing agency So I've actually almost signed the contract, but I haven't engaged the marketing agency to like, okay, let's rebrand this. Let's do it. I was also nervous to let go of the odd name. I'm so used to it.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's a good move. So you're just planning on how you're going to do the rebrand. Are we doing this?
Nah.
Not this year?
Doubt it. Yeah. The year has ended for me. And it's getting a little bit more hectic.
Yeah, so I think you can do it. I think you can actually change the name, because the more time you waste, the more you're losing out on some people and your new brand.
You know, I'm also okay with losing out on those people. And maybe it's the wrong way for me to think, but I'm also very okay. One thing about me is I like consistency, and I like to stick to my word. So even when that happened, it was a sign for me to change the name, because certain things are not working out with that name, even before I knew that this was happening. So now that I'm transitioning, I am trying my best not to be fussed about it for the sake of other people. I'm trying to be very intentional. I'm also trying to make sure that when I'm ready to transition, because this is now becoming a psychological thing for me, when I'm ready to transition, I am fully ready to let that go. Because in other instances, I do introduce the company with the other name, as long as they just don't ask for my social media, because now I don't have social media for this company. So I do introduce my company in that name, but in the back of my head, that Tonse comes first, then I have to like sieve it and everything. So yeah, I am slowly preparing to rebrand. So I do think, because initially, tentatively, we're supposed to do it in October.
Mm-hmm.
Not started anything. So I'm thinking I don't do December. I wouldn't do such a big thing in December. So probably January, February. I genuinely believe January, February, because no one is doing events. Everybody's tired. And I'm like, oh, hey, guys, I rebranded. And so that's one of the good news anyway. I guess now people know this. So one of the good news is rebranding is not a secret anymore. It's not a secret. I'm sex. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So early next year, the first quarter of next year, probably would know the transition, which I already used Operate, but I just can't wait to start using it, I guess.
That sounds good. That sounds like a plan. Yeah. I think, if you don't need to rush, I don't think you need to take your time set. Just make sure that everything is in place, and also, just also to allow people to be aware of what's coming. Yeah. I think you might also want to do a bit of like teasers and whatnot. So just teasing, not showing everything, or something big is coming, that type of marketing. Yeah, so you might want to do that as well, so that it's not just like a big surprise, like boom.
It happened. I hate surprises. We'll probably do that. Again, I think this is why I know that marketing is not my strength. And so this is why I have like a marketing agency I engaged for this that will do it. And when we're ready, when everything is ready, I can't wait for them to do it. I'll be so excited on their behalf. I really just want to show up. I know I won't just show up, but I really just don't want to be the lead in this, because I know I'll flop it. Yeah, I'm sure they all have ideas like yours. If they don't, I'll tell them like, oh, let's do teasers. But I also know that it's going to take a lot of energy, and it's going to be a lot. It's going to be very intense. Mm-hmm. So, I can't wait to see how it all goes down, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you get everything in place. If you are someone that is doing it for you and you trust them, I think, that's fine as well. Making sure they do their job. Yeah, and also like that you know your strengths. That's really a good thing.
Yeah. Well, as an entrepreneur, you really have to learn what you're... I know you have to be a jack of all trades at one point, but you have to know what your core strength is. And I know my core strengths, and it's not this. Which is fine. I feel like I'm being interviewed. So let's...
Well, I was allowed to ask you questions.
Yes. I have been talking for like 15 minutes now. So let's go back to the original questions. Now that you've asked me some of the questions you'd ask, what are like some of the steps to take to rebrand a business?
So rebranding a business. So we're also talking about the visual identity changing, isn't it? So like the new logo, new brand colors and everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what does it take? I think if you're not doing it yourself, I think it's the first step is finding the right people to do it for you, to know that they know what they're doing. That's super important. And making sure that you understand the brand. Well, I do branding myself, so visual brand identity design, that's like my thing. So I always make sure I try to know about the business, what you're doing, what you're offering, what your audience is, so that I know what I'm doing. Even when I start doing the rebrand, are we speaking to the right people? Who does this appeal to? What industry are we in? So just knowing all those questions, I think that's a very good start. So you need to make sure that the people who are doing it for you ask the right questions and what your goals are and what you want to achieve. Yeah, then secondly, I think is also how you show up online. Of course, when you do the visual identity, like what's your strategy like gonna be like when it comes to reaching out to people? Are you going the traditional route, traditional media? Are you going digital? Are you going to be doing videos? Are you going to be doing posts? And also, what's going to make you different from other people? And I think you're someone who's bubbly. I know you post some videos of you online. I think you'll be the right person, especially that we are living now in a TikTok age where we have videos that are very short. We have a short span. We want to watch short things, and we are moving on to the next one. And yeah, I think you could be, if you want to be the first of that brand, or you want to show yourself as the first of that brand, I think you'll be the right person to do it. And when you say you don't know much about marketing, I think you would do a good job. Not marketing per se, like the deep stuff, but just to put your brand out there online for brand awareness. You know, you talk about this, you talk about that, which you already do in your videos that you post. So I think that those are like some of the things that you would like to consider. And at the end of the day, I think it's making sure people understand exactly what you're doing. That's really important. That's a really important step. Like, what are you here for? What is your offer? And what value are they getting from you? So making sure those things are clear in the first place is super important for every customer or potential customer that you reach, making sure that your message is clear. What are you offering? What value are you giving to your audience or customers?
What are some of the mistakes brands make?
Mistakes, I think one of them is not catching up to the way the world is moving. Yeah, because things are moving like quite so fast nowadays. We're already doing this, we're already doing that. And so if you're not flexible enough to adapt to certain things or the way certain things are moving, you're not catching up to what people want or what grabs people's attention. I think that's one. If you're too rigid, you want to do certain things only in a certain way. Secondly, if you also, don't listen to the feedback from your customer or your audience. That's one thing. You lose out people. They'll move on to the next brand. They won't pay attention to you. So making sure you listen to the customer and exactly what their needs are. I think that's one important thing. I think even as if you're a business owner or an entrepreneur, sometimes we are biased. We want to just do certain things in our own way, but there are some things in which we need to listen to our customers. What are they saying? What are their pain points? Do they like what we are doing? Don't they like what we are doing? So those are some of the mistakes. Another thing is not wanting to spend money. I mean, if you don't spend money, you want to get quality at the end of the day.
Yeah, sure.
So I think being willing to spend money on branding or marketing, that's super important. Because if you have someone who's cheaper, I mean, they're going to do cheap work, which is going to be a cost on you in the long run.
Those are good ones. I think those have also defined why I am a little bit hesitant and slow about the rebrand, because I'm like, I really need to pay in good money so I can get good quality of work and that. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Mwaka, I want to give you an opportunity to ask me a question.
A question?
Yeah.
A personal one?
Sure.
I thought you said you wouldn't answer.
You're gonna ask about my boyfriend? Why?
Yeah, I'm gonna ask you, yeah.
That's not the most interesting part of my life.
That's not the most interesting part of your life. No. Yeah, so let's see.
But I'll answer that.
No, I didn't want to ask that.
Well, okay.
Yeah. What is one thing you are so proud of about your life?
That I've survived?
Proud of? The most proud thing about your life?
Yeah, that's the one thing I'm the proudest about my life is that I survived.
That you survived?
Yeah.
Okay.
I survive every single day of this thing called life. I always joke around and say, I really didn't ask to be born, but hey, thanks. Honestly, life as an adult will kick your ass at any given point. So for me, I always set out to survive a week. My life is very occupying and I have a lot going on. And I have a lot to balance. And I just try to make sure I survive the week. So this week has started. Hey, if I can just make it to Saturday sane, that would be great. The fact that there were moments when I thought I wouldn't be alive is crazy. And that's how much it's has taken for me to be where I am. I think at that point, my current partner and I would just make sure I'm okay for a day or I'm okay for a minute.
Mm.
And I look back to that moment and I'm like, wow. I really did survive that moment. And now I'm like, oh, if I could just make it to Friday, that's okay. Mm. I know maybe for someone like me, you'd be thinking it would be the big stuff.
Yeah.
I don't take for granted that I'm alive.
Yeah.
Because life has been hard for the past few years. And because I'm a very emotional person and I have attachment issues, there are certain people in my life that I have lost. And this is family, to be honest. When it comes to other human beings, it's okay. But there are certain people that have been part of my identity the last 8 years that I have lost. And I miss them every day. You know what I mean? And if things work out a certain way, you question a lot of stuff about yourself, about life, about God. So yeah, for me, it's just the fact that I'm alive. Like, I have survived. And I joke around this a lot. And I'm actually like taking a step back in August to kind of see how best to manage myself. And I think that surviving and being able to run a business and do what I'm doing is like one of the hardest things ever. I know for others, they, and I've gotten this a lot, they're like, oh my goodness, you do this effortless. No, I don't. I just have no choice but to show up. I really do believe in the dream. I really believe in the goal. I just want to show up. But yeah, honestly, surviving and being alive has just been key for everything, for me anyway. I'm just like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And I get and I respect a lot of stuff now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's that. For me, the proudest thing is today I'm able to talk to you. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful I survived last week.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Not about this week, but grateful. And also for more context, I also have been getting sick a lot. So it's a lot of things to navigate everywhere. It's interesting, to be honest. But I'm very grateful and proud that I am here today. And I'm alive and I'm able to talk to you and have this conversation. A lot of moments I always think I want. So it's a lot to be grateful for.
Yeah. No, thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's really brave. And yeah, I think we take for granted that we are alive sometimes. I think most of the times we only think be grateful about being alive when we're in danger or we were about to experience something fatal.
Yeah.
I think that's like usually the time we appreciate life the most. But I'm glad that you take every week at a time to say thank you, God, for letting me survive this week.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that we should be grateful for as people. And I think it also makes you do a lot more with your life. I don't know, but I think it just encourages you to say, oh, I survived this week. Let's see how this one goes as well. I might as well do all the things that I need to do. Thanks for sharing.
It also gives you a chance to kind of realize how temporary things are. Right? I laugh about it. Like this time last year, I was so heartbroken over somebody I have known for all my life and has done great for me and rejected it because it wasn't working out, right? Our friendship was just not working out and it wasn't healthy. And now I'm thinking back and I'm like, oh, really? It wasn't that deep, but it was for me at that moment. Just acknowledging that for myself has been very important. But I'm such a person that believes in things are very temporary. So if I really like somebody, I will tell them I like them. I will tell them I love them. And one thing that has also happened is I've seen how people are not open to receiving love.
Because
I'm also like, hey, I love you. And if at this moment, a week from now, we part ways, at least I would have told you we could part ways through death, through just parting ways and things just don't work out, friendship-wise or anything. But it made me realize when after every call with any of my friends and some of my family members, I always go like, I love you. And when I lost my sister last year, I was just like, did I tell her I loved her? And you know, the last message she sent on the day she died was, I hope you know I love you.
Wow.
And I'm like, so it's really those moments where you're like, you kind of have to know that life is very temporary. I hope you tell the people you love them. Even if that is just today, I love you, and tomorrow you're not in contact with that person, it's also okay. So I'm living life like that has been very dangerous, by the way, because a lot of people are like, oh my goodness, you're so emotional. But also very fulfilling because it means in that moment, especially romantically, I really did love that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I take responsibility for that. But I also know that this could be temporal and it's not forever. One of my favorite songs, I think it's Forever by Luis Capaldi. He says, forever doesn't have to be for the rest of our life. Forever could be a day, could be a week, could be a month. Mm. But it's forever for that specific period. So just living life like that and knowing it's temporal. And overall, if everything goes down, just knowing you survived is like the best thing that could happen. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thanks for sharing that. That's super important to be aware that life shouldn't be taken for granted, really. Yeah.
So much to be grateful.
Yeah. Thanks.
What do you look forward to?
What do I look forward to? Yeah, I think what I look forward to is being able to manage my own time at my own pace. Yeah. I think I look forward to that, where I can manage my own time and do what I want at my own time, or control most of my life. Yeah, I think I look forward to that.
Now, I read a meme and it says the best things to be grateful for, and one of the things were a slow morning and not to brag. If there's one thing I am grateful for, is I don't need to be anywhere at 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
Nah. Mm-hmm. I feel sympathy for all of you that have to go to work by 7.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, but I think time is all we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just being to control, I want to be able to have more control over my time. And I think in 5 years or so, I will be able to detect how, I'm already able to detect how my time goes.
Yeah.
But just being fully, like you can fully just control that, is something I really too look forward to, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Mwaka, thank you so much for being here. It was such an interesting conversation. You did well for someone that was so nervous. An hour, 30 minutes?
Yeah, imagine that.
And I loved picking your brain. I loved our back and forth. Thank you so much for just being here and having this recording with me. It was fun. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you now get to do more podcasts.
Yeah. No, thank you so much. Yeah, I really appreciate your time. I don't think this sounded like a podcast to me. I think this sounded like we are at a restaurant and we're just having a conversation. So that's how
free. And we're all time friends.
That's exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I enjoyed this conversation. Thanks so much for having me.
No, thank you for coming up and conquering your fears and being on the other side. And for everybody listening, well, thank you for being here at the end. I know so many glitches, so many laughters, but I hope you got a few tips. My favorite one, and I always go back to it, has to do with the money part and just sharing information with employers. Like, let's talk among us ourselves so that we can know what's really going on in the corporate world. So if anything, that's one thing I hope you get from this conversation. And if you loved it, please share it to a friend and let me know what you think. I will be sharing Mwaka's socials and podcasts in the link or in the bio, actually. So yeah, thank you so much and bye for now.
Bye. Thanks.